But for me, sometimes it's still hard to believe that winter is over and spring is here. It seems like at times the year is just flying by, and then other times it seems like it's kind of creeping along. The first quarter of this year is over and long gone for us. And I've been led to take a break from our series on Galatians to address some issues that are of major concern, as well as hopefully clear up some misunderstandings that might exist. At last week's deacons meeting, I explained my concerns to that group, and I asked for their support in bringing these concerns before all of you. And they agreed that because of the severity of the things that we want to talk about, that it was necessary to do this. I explained to them that I didn't want to do it at a business meeting because, honestly, not very many people come. You know, half the church leaves, and we have half the people that should be here actually here for a business meeting. I want to be very clear on some things before we get started. Again, this is not going to be a traditional message. You're not going to hear that today. It is, however, going to be very honest information about the health of this church and where we actually are as a group. And what I'm going to talk about is going to be not only difficult for me to say, but difficult for a lot of you to hear, because it's some tough stuff. But I want you to know ahead of time that I'm also not here preaching doom and gloom. And I repeat, my purpose is not to lay a guilt trip on anybody in this church. It's not about making you feel guilty about anything. The goal is to communicate the truth of the current condition of the church. So I'm going to be very real. I feel like clarity and truth is very important, and I hope you feel the same. So, with all that in mind, I want to open up with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we come before you and we just ask for your presence here this morning. Lord, I just ask that you would open hearts to what you've laid on my heart this morning to talk about, and that people would not take offense to the things they hear, that they would recognize that they're simply truth and things that we as a church have to work on in order to be successful. Father, I just ask that you would speak through me, and that anything that I say would only be an attempt to glorify you, and that people would be accepting of it. And we just, again, thank you for all that you do. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Well, I want to start out this morning talking about something that nobody likes to talk about: finances. Nobody likes to hear that, but we're going to talk about it anyway. As all of you should already know, this church is very transparent about financial matters. There really are no secrets. The church finances are fully disclosed at the monthly business meetings. You can get a report of that each month as to what was spent where. There really are no secrets. Again, I want you to understand that I'm only talking about this in an attempt to keep you as the congregation fully informed as to what's going on and create as much transparency as possible. I hear those words all the time. I didn't know about this. Nobody told me about that. You know, just like I told you last week, you're basically as involved in this group as you choose to be. So if you didn't know about it, it's probably because you chose not to be involved. But I hope you understand now that me as your pastor, I'm totally separated from financial aspects. I don't have hands on any monies whatsoever, none whatsoever. My involvement is very similar to that of most of you. I see what comes in and goes out on paper, you know, and that's purposeful to avoid any kind of misconduct or even accusation of misconduct. So that's a very purposeful act. All of our financial decisions are made at our monthly business meetings. As always, we approve the annual budget at our Thanksgiving dinner, usually in November. The total budget is largely based on the income from the previous year. The annual budget for the church for 2016 is $95,500. This includes allotments for things like the building payment, utilities, maintenance, as well as budget amounts for all of the individual ministries. It also includes my salary. My salary is $39,999 a year. It includes a budget amount of $800 for the year for our contract nursery worker, Julie Little. Our budget does not allow us to pay equal monthly payments. So I guess what I want you to understand is that we don't pay the exact same thing each month. It doesn't quite work like that. Each ministry leader can spend as needed based on the budget amount that was approved at the annual business meeting, providing that the funds are actually available at the time that they're needed. So then anything over the actual budget amount then has to be approved at a business meeting. This makes it hard to really understand where we are from a financial perspective at times. And I want to attempt this morning to try and simplify things and make it easy to understand so you can see the direction that we've actually been headed. I want to try to explain our budget needs compared to our income. And I'll keep the numbers easy to understand because, like I said, they can be difficult. But in order to keep them easy to understand, they're just going to be approximate numbers, very close, but approximate, so that I don't have to worry about exact numbers. And I don't want you to focus on writing this stuff down right now. I can give you any of this information you want at a later time, but I really want you to hear the words that I'm saying and allow those words to penetrate your mind so that you develop an actual understanding. So please focus on what I'm saying and not be concerned with writing down the numbers. It's very important, and it's a little confusing. So here we go. To keep track of the budget that we already talked about, that we voted for 2016, we need an average income of $1,900 per week. Again, this is not an exact number. It's actually rounded up a little bit to make it easier to remember and to keep it simple. And I want you to see, if you have your bulletins, pull those out. I want you to see that that's actually listed in your bulletin. Minimum budget, $1,900 for the week. So that number is out there for everybody to see on a regular basis. Now, if you go up to the top where it says general fund, you can actually see what came in last week's offering. And actually, as I look at this, that number is a little bit off. Those two numbers below it, the building fund and the youth group, should be subtracted from the general fund, and it should actually be $541 that we took in last week instead of $583 for the general fund. So, again, we need $1,900 weekly to meet our current budget. That is a necessary minimum average to keep up with our current rate of spending. Now, if we expect our ministries to grow, then we need our budget to grow with it. You'll also notice at the bottom there's a section that says next step challenge. And what that is just something that's projected as a goal to meet. If we expect to grow ministries and to be able to grow as a group, we need more funds. That's just how it works. So that's projected as something that we can do our best to attain in the future. If we were to reach that goal, it would actually be an increase in our budget of about $10,400 a year. So understand that I want to take a close look at where we are realistically instead of where we need to be. If we consider the first quarter being January through March, that's actually 13 weeks, we would need an income of $24,700 to meet our current budget. As of the end of March, the actual income was $21,221. Again, approximate numbers. But this leaves us with a negative of almost $3,500 for the first quarter that we would need to meet our budget spending needs. Now, I also want you to recognize that if this trend would continue for the entire year, that would be $14,000 under our budget needs. That means somehow, some way, our budget would have to be decreased by $14,000, or it would have to come out of what we have currently in savings. But that's if it were to continue in that trend, but it's not. It's getting worse, and I'm going to point that out to you in just a second. One of the things I do want to say right here is the budget that we have is not one of excess spending. We don't have a bunch of frivolous leaders in this church. They're actually very frugal, and I greatly appreciate that. So we have trimmed our budget, you know, over the past few years to you know, pretty minimum. So that we don't have a budget that's one of excess, and I want you to understand that. I want you to know that I did go back and compare some past years just to make sure that the first quarter isn't always lower as a rule. And I went back and I looked at that, and that's not the case. Last year's income was actually well over $1,000 above the budget from last year for this time. So it was significantly, you know, the amount of giving last year was significantly less than this year. But again, if we continued our current spending, it would most likely result in a decrease of what we have in savings of about $14,000 for this year. And possibly even worse, it could possibly result in a total elimination of everything that's there. It would mean a much tighter budget for next year. Next year's budget would be cut directly by the amount of the shortage that we see from this year. Now, if we were actually able to stay afloat through this, that would involve some very difficult decisions for next year's budget. Very difficult decision. I want you to realize that the only responsible thing that I could do as your pastor is resign. Now, I know I just got a lot of your attention with that because you weren't necessarily paying attention until just now. I want you to understand that I didn't say that I was resigning. I said that was the only responsible thing that I could do as your pastor. And I want to explain to you why. I don't want to just leave it there. I want to explain it. The only real option to meet that deficit would be to cut the pastor's salary, which would be at least $14,000 a year, and probably a lot more. Under the current trend, it definitely would be a lot more, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But you have to understand that if it were possible for me to do this for free, I absolutely would. But it's not possible at this point, nor can I afford to take that kind of a cut. Now, I could work and pastor at the same time, but I want you to realize that the church would greatly suffer from an arrangement like that. Not only that, but I have a 16-year-old child who will be graduating soon and moving out of the house. I have a wonderful wife who already get a lot less of my attention than they deserve. So for us right now, please understand, that's not an option. It's not going to happen. So, again, I don't say any of this for any other reason than for all of you to recognize that that's the only responsible thing that I could do if things were to remain the way they are currently. I don't want this to happen. It's not about me giving up or sidestepping any of the difficult times. It would be the only thing that I could do to keep the doors open, realistically, and still allow funds for ministry needs. At this point, if we were to reach that point, I guess, I would probably recommend to all of you that you would strongly consider selling this building, maybe getting something a little smaller, making some kind of adjustment in that area. I don't have the answer, but if we reached that point, it would only make sense, in my opinion. The only other option we would have would be to decrease spending. We could cut spending from all of our service ministries, all of our discipleship ministries, as well as at least another $4,000 from the pastor's salary, and cut all unnecessary spending at all. This would include, just so you understand, I want you to see what this actually looks like. This would include a total cut of spending in all children's ministries, including all of the youth budget, a total cut in any monetary help that we give to folks inside and outside of the church. All Sunday school materials would need to be cut, as well as our contract employee for the nursery. Any unnecessary spending would have to go. And as you can see, that's probably not a practical option. I hope I don't have to explain why, but it's just not. So, we have some financial challenges that await us, along with, you know, major decisions to make if things don't improve. I want you to realize here that something I forgot to say earlier was I went ahead and I looked at the budget for, or at the income for April. Again, it was just a sneak peek. We haven't had the business meeting yet. But we were about, I believe it was $1,850 short for the month of April under our budget needs. So what that would look like then, you know, for the second quarter is we would be $5,500. If that trend continued, we would be $5,500 under our budget spending. So I want you to recognize that as we're moving forward, the second quarter is not even looking as good as the first quarter did. So we're not improving, we're actually getting worse. And it's a serious concern. And as I said, we definitely have some challenges that await us. But I want you to know this, and I want to be clear on this. I have no regrets as to anything I've said in the past, and I refuse to cater to anyone based off of their financial giving. I refuse. It won't happen. I will preach and teach as God leads me. End of story. And if you're looking for anything outside of that, I'm not your guy. I still stand on that. I have something I want you to think about, and I bet very few actually have. Do you realize that as a church, since the addition to this building, we have spent about $1.5 million in annual budget spending since that addition? $1.5 million in annual budget spending. And I want you to look around. Look around. Look around this church. We have what, maybe 50 in here? 50 people? We average about 70. We have at most 40 in Sunday school. And when I look at the ministry challenges that we're experiencing, and we're going to talk about some of those challenges here in a minute, but I look at this stuff and I consider it and I think, if we can't be an effective force for Christ, we have to face the fact that we're wasting valuable money on budget spending. This money could be used in ways that are far more effective than simply keeping open the doors of a building. That's a hard fact to consider, but we need to think long and hard about it. This building was designed to be a resource for service to God. It was never about being a resource for the comfort of the church. We have more than just finances to talk about today, and I'm not going to keep going on, even though I could. So let's move on. Let's move on and talk about some ministry challenges. As I sat down and I prayed about the ministry challenges, and again, none of this stuff is a secret. Everybody knows the issues we have. But as I sat down and prayed, the hardest thing, the biggest challenge that I faced was simply knowing where to start Where do I start with what I say to this group? We have trouble in all areas of ministry, some more than others. And again, I want to reiterate the fact that I'm not here trying to guilt anyone into service. But the simple fact of the matter is, we struggle to find folks to serve. We're struggling. It's just a fact. And I'm going to be very honest. The problem starts with a group of men who come together for the purpose of leading and serving this church. I'm part of that group. And we're not unified with a Christ-minded mission focus. We're just not. And I think everybody in the group recognizes that there's a problem. Most have a different opinion as to maybe what it might be, as well as what it would take to fix. At this point, I honestly don't have the answer for making that happen. I don't have it. I don't know what it will take to ignite that renewed passion that's needed in that group. All I know to do is to continue to pray, continue to seek God's guidance, and continue to praise Him for the things that He is doing. That's all I know. Having said that, the focus then goes to me. I had to ask the deacon group last week if I was being an effective leader for this church. I had to ask that question. I have to tell you that I feel that I've been being obedient to God and how I've been leading this church. Without question, I've made mistakes, a lot of them. But from an overall perspective, I'm very comfortable in saying that I've been obedient to what God's called me to do. And this week, I went back and I reviewed the messages from the last year and a half. I reviewed the leading from the last year and a half. I took a hard look at it. The direction that I've been led to take this church. And I really feel like I've communicated it well. At times it seems like many support the direction on paper, but it's inspired very little action. And I want to illustrate this morning. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want to illustrate it by taking you on a little journey. How many of you remember the series, Let's Do Church Well? I'll give you a little reminder. These have been hanging up all over the church for a while. I'm going to put this right here so you can see it. I know a lot of you probably weren't here for that series, but it was about a year and a half ago. And this was a series on Nehemiah and how he was led to rebuild the wall around the city and to repair the city gates. And we compared the situation that he had to the situation that we saw here. And we talked about how we needed to strengthen our relationship with Christ. We compared our ministries to those city gates. And how we talked about how our ministries were the gateways to introduce people to Christ. And we talked about how our goal had to be one of rebuilding those gateways, those ministries. And it had to be one of beginning to do those well. So this morning, I want to take you on a little trip. And I want to look at how we've progressed over the past year plus in some of these areas. Where are we now? Let's take a look. I'm not going to cover them all, but a few. Let's look at this one right here at the bottom, church cleaning. You say, why is church cleaning on there? Well, because first impressions mean a lot. That's my opinion. First impressions mean a lot. You walk into a dirty building and it's not impressive to anybody. We have improved in this area considerably. I still feel like we have lots of room to continue to improve. But there's been a lot done recently by just a select few people. Regularly, that is. And things are actually getting done now that weren't before. So we were actually, we've actually maybe improved a little in this area. But church cleaning is accomplished through the direction of the trustees. And this group is struggling right now. We have very little leadership, but the reality is it doesn't matter because there are only a couple people in the group to lead at this point. This group has a lot to accomplish in this church and very few to do it with. They desperately need help in keeping this building and all of the things associated with it up to date, clean, painted, maintenance done. They need help. Let's move up a little bit. We've got fellowship and outreach. We have an active fellowship committee that focuses on fellowship within this church. They plan things yearly. It's always on the calendar. And as I thought about this, I really don't know how to measure the success of a fellowship group. I'm really not sure. One thing I do know for sure is we know how to have a good potluck. I always eat well at the functions that we have. From the outreach side, we really have very little going on at this point. We've tried a few things here and there. But most who have the mindset to outreach recognize that so many areas are failing that it's difficult to get anybody to stay here. Especially when it comes to children's ministries. And it gets discouraging. And it causes people to give up. So let's talk about these areas of children's ministries. Let's start with, on the other side, the nursery. Let's talk about the nursery. We struggle to keep help in this area. I know we've had three people who recently ended their service in this area. You know, I know maybe a lot of folks don't understand how it works, but the more people you have, the less time you have to spend in there. And we don't have very many at this point. It was brought up at the last business meeting that the deacons consider hiring people to do this job. And honestly, as we've talked about the financial situation, you can see where that's just not an option at this point. Whether it's a good idea or not doesn't matter. We don't have the financial situation to be able to do that. Not unless giving would drastically increase. Let's talk about another one here. What about children's church? Let's look at that. Well, honestly, in some areas, this is better than it had been for a while. Let me tell you why. For the longest time, this was staffed by one person continually. Miss Amy did it herself for a very long time. That's since changed. We still have a lot of turnover, a lot of folks that want to help for a minute and then not. And that gets very difficult to keep a schedule. As many of you know, maybe you don't know, maybe this is the first time you're going to hear it, but you'll hear it at the business meeting anyway. Our children's church director, who is Miss Amy, also the Awana commander, their family has decided to move forward with finding another church. And she has resigned those positions as of the end of this Awana year. I know most of you have already heard that. There have been, that I know of recently, at least two who have quit this area of service. And if we go by trend, the reality is shortly we will be without a children's church director. And what will happen is we'll go about 2 months and folks will serve. They'll begin to get frustrated and eventually that program will fail. That's what will happen if we continue as we do now. That's what usually happens. So let's move forward then and talk about Awana since we mentioned that. That's another one that's on here, Awana. Again, our commander resigned as of the end of this year because of some very valid concerns. It's been a rough couple years. To keep it simple, we don't have enough people to run things the way they're designed to be. To run things effectively, we would need about 25 committed people, including about 5 with strong teaching ability, especially now that our commander is leaving. We're going to need others for listeners and investors, for games, transportation, attendance. They need to be people who are willing to volunteer for an entire Awana year and to be committed to investing in children. And the truth is, we don't really have that. It saddens me to say that, but we don't have it. And you say, well, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because there had been a sign-up sheet out in the entryway for almost a month. And multiple times I told people in order to continue with our Awana ministry, we needed to fill that. And I think there were maybe 3 to 4 names on it. Very few have responded. In my opinion, at this point, that program has failed. If we were to continue with a ministry that's not staffed correctly, it would only further hinder the reputation of this church in the community. I honestly don't believe that the commitment would be strong enough to continue Awana in the coming year. And I'm going to tell you, I refuse to continue to duct tape the wheels back on ministries. It makes us look foolish. That doesn't cut it. Let's look at another one, Junior Youth Ministries. Okay, well, again, this series was about a year and a half ago. It was actually started the very first week of January. Would have been almost a year and a half ago. Junior Youth Ministries ended, was closed down directly after this series started. I think by now you probably understand why. What about youth? It's another one that's on here. Let's talk about youth. Right now our youth group is strong. But I have some concerns in this area, especially for the future. My concerns are out of the hands of the current youth leaders. You see, we're struggling in all these areas of children's ministries. We're not effectively raising up the next generation of youth. When the current group has moved through, I fear that because of the current issues we have, there won't be another group to follow. That saddens me too. You know, I've been advertising here and there a couple of open days to teach the youth group. And there was really only one night that I couldn't do it myself that I really needed to have filled. And nobody wanted to do that. The only person that volunteered to do that was the man that was already leading a Bible study. And he offered to bring them in to his Bible study and include and teach specifically towards that group. That was the only volunteer we had. So I get confused then when I hear folks in the church as they say, let's get the youth to do that. Let's get the youth to do this. Let's get the youth to do this, that, and the other thing. Sometimes I view that as an excuse so that the adults don't have to do it. And that saddens me. I agree they should be involved, and they are. What about the young adults? Another group we currently have nothing for, haven't for a while, a couple years at least, which means nothing for the youth who are aging out of the youth group. They have nowhere to go. The options are slim. We can force them to go into the general population, only to learn that serving seems to be a sentence instead of a privilege. You know what actually happens at this point? I bet many people don't know this. Nothing. They stay in the youth group because there's nowhere that they feel comfortable going. You know, maybe you're looking at me this morning and saying, man, you really sound bitter. I'm not bitter. To be honest with you, I am very afraid for the future of this group of believers. And it's mostly because the majority have yet to recognize the true condition of this body. That concerns me. Let's keep moving. Sunday school. Another one. Sunday school. See right there. This is a problem area for us. I have projected a goal to you to have 90% of our worship service attending Sunday school. The reality is we don't have enough teachers to make that happen. We have two adult classes. That's it. That's not a structure for growth. We haven't had a teacher for the preschool age for several years. This is the age between nursery and kindergarten. People have been taking that age group to the class that's designed for kindergarten through second grade. And it becomes overwhelming to the person teaching that age range because it makes the age range too broad. We have 6th through 8th grade in with the youth group out of necessity. Now the folks leading that group are fine with it, but it's obviously not ideal. Those are two different groups. There are two different mentalities there. But again, it's out of necessity. Honestly, if we followed our own standards, we wouldn't even have Sunday school for the younger groups. You know why? Because we have one teacher in each class. By our own standards, that shouldn't happen. It's not allowed to happen. But it's a reality for us. It's simply not fair to anybody involved. It's not fair to the teachers. It's not fair to the children that they don't have folks to invest in them. We have to change this area. We need to do it right or stop. That's exactly what needs to happen. Currently, it just makes us look messy. And to be quite honestly, it becomes disgraceful. As a church, we have to begin to cut some things out of our ministry arsenal and begin to do the remaining things in a way that glorifies God. Because the reality is, right now, we're not attracting anybody to the mess that we have. We're going to have to learn what it means to do things right in every area. Moving on. You'll notice we have Sunday school here, small groups. Let's talk about small groups. I want you to notice that word, small groups, was introduced over a year and a half ago. God was leading me to lead you in that direction even then. You guys remember small groups from our new member series? At this point, I think the majority that agreed with the small group idea, with the mission statement and core values that went along with it, that stuff has long been forgotten. Do you remember those things? Anybody remember those? Anybody remember any of them at all? All those things were brought to the surface in an attempt to be a constant reminder of what our actual purpose is. But very few ever took it serious. Very few were ever serious about buying into it. I want you to hear something. If we don't take serious the mission God has given us, why would He continue to allow us to operate under His name? Why would He do that? I want to read something to you. It's out of Revelation chapter 3. It starts in verse 3. Here's what it says. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm going to leave the commentary on this passage up to you as God works in your heart. I recognize right now that there are probably a few people saying, Pastor, this content is not appropriate for Sunday morning. You have no business saying this stuff in front of possible guests and people who have never been here before. Why would you say that when people might be visiting? My response to that is, those things don't stay invisible for long. The fact is, most of us who are here have a tendency to be able to overlook those things, but the reality is when a visitor comes through those doors, they see exactly what I'm talking about right off. Trust me, because I've talked to a lot of them, and they see it. It doesn't stay secret for long. I need you to hear this clearly this morning. This church has been slowly dying for a while. And it's time for us to face that reality and adjust. I've tried to say this politely through various methods, through different teaching. I've tried to point it out in a way that people ought to be able to pick it up and understand it. But it doesn't happen. Or we choose to ignore it. So straightforward talk is what you're hearing this morning. If you can't understand what I've said this morning, then there's something wrong. And I need you to know that I refuse to continue to bear that burden alone. I won't. I didn't create it on my own, and I certainly can't fix it on my own. You know, we could be all here all day talking about this stuff. There are other things to do. I think I'm about done. And I'll say again, I don't know what it's going to take to motivate this group to action. I don't know if this group ever will be motivated to action. I honestly have no idea. In fact, You couldn't convince me right now that anything would. You know, the truth is, I love each and every one of you, or I wouldn't still be here. I'm not saying these things for any other reason than to wake people up to the possibility. I've said it already, and I'll say it again. If we continue the way we are, we will close the doors to this church soon, possibly this year. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That's what I intend to do. And I'm going to leave the rest in His hands. This morning I'm going to close this in prayer. And I'm going to allow you a time of prayer afterwards to pray as God inspires, the altars open, or you can pray from your seats. I hope you heard what I said this morning, because I don't know how else to say it. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you just, you know, me personally, my heart is hurting, and I'm seeking your wisdom. I pray that you would inspire this group to do the same. I pray that this morning that not a single person can walk away from here and say that they didn't understand what was going on, or they didn't understand that we were in such a negative situation. Father, I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. And I ask for your wisdom again. I ask that you would guide, that you would lead this entire group. Again, I just thank you for all that you do.